God's got it. There's somebody tell him God's got this. Get your Bible out. Remain standing. Get your Bible out. To Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. As I was leaving church a week or so ago, and I always ask God to go ahead and start it ahead of time to show me what I should be studying during the week for Sunday. And this one just came so strong. How many has ever played chicken? Oh yeah, some of the worst hurts I ever had was playing chicken. Yeah. Just in case you're listening, one of the guys at PCS, which is called whatever now to keep changing the name of it, Alan Boyd. Y'all remember Alan Boyd? We were in the skating ring one night, and we've been playing chicken. We were shooting a duck going at each other, and one night we kept messing around. So one night we had decided we were not going to move. And so everybody cleared all the ring, and Alan and I got going as fast as we could go, and we met in the middle of the ring shooting a duck. And I'm going to tell you something. He got knocked over on one side. I got knocked on the other. And I said, this has got to be the stupidest thing I ever done. And I got up and said, you ready to do it again? Chicken. You just try to hold it until somebody moves. Let me tell you something. Satan's playing chicken with you right now. He's playing chicken with you. He's playing chicken with your mind. He's playing chicken with your family. He's playing chicken with whatever he can play chicken with you with. And remember, he knows that you win. He knows that you've got the power. He knows you've got the strength. He knows you've got what you need. But he also knows that if he's playing chicken, if he holds it long enough, you'll give up and give in. Wow. Look, I can think about that skating ring that night and how bad I hurt for weeks afterwards. But at least I didn't move. Neither one of us won. We both lost. But we hit. But the problem is now, he's playing chicken. Satan's playing chicken with us. And he's trying to get us to run scared. Who wants to run scared? Who wants to lay down and play dead? I don't. I want to see God move. This is the time to see God move. We've ever seen him move before. Now is the time. Tell somebody, now is the time. Okay, let's talk about some now is the time. Get your Bible out, turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Now let me tell you something, if he hadn't stopped, he wouldn't have heard anything. Can I just say that one more time? When God saw that he stopped, when he got interested in what God had, God said, okay, now I'm going to talk to him. So God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. I can't even say it right. And he said, draw not hither, but put thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord, God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land, and a large, and a land full of milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and the Termites. See if y'all listening. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have seen the oppression where the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, you're alive and well on the throne, Father, and we know, God, that you've got this under control. Lord, we know, God, that times seem very crazy right now. There seems to be some terrible taskmasters, some terrible tasks happening around us. I ask you, Lord, to touch the lives of the people that have been injured or had their lives taken from them in the last few weeks. I ask you, Lord, to touch and to strengthen everybody, give them their resolve. And Lord, help us realize that Satan's playing chicken with us. And it's time for us to stand up, fight back your way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, look at somebody around you. Don't touch them. Just look at them and say, you're looking good. Matter of fact, some of y'all, the farther I get away from you, the better you look. I found out a good way to look. I picked up a hitchhiker. I know you're not supposed to, but you know, I felt bad for the guy. I picked up a hitchhiker the other night in the rain, and he asked if I was afraid. We're not afraid that he might be a serial killer. And I told him, I said, the odds of two serial killers being in the same car was extremely unlikely. He got out and walked the rest of the way. Oh, I forgot to change this. I'm going to start thinking, wow, that's a wild looking sermon right there. Hold on. Yeah, everything's still kind of out there. We're trying to get everything together. So I'm gonna say something kind of crazy right now, but that's okay. Y'all are used to it. Are you ready? Listen carefully. Let me finish. Ready? Do you have a big butt? Oh, I know I have a big butt. I think at one time or another, we've all had a big butt. Hold on. Some of us might even have more than one big butt. Now you see I'm getting somewhere. Okay? When God asks us to do something, our big butt appears. Oh. Oh, now you see I'm not talking about physical. Amen. When God called Moses, here we go. What's going on here? Come on, buddy. Let's do it. There we go. Here we go. Well, I thought we were going. Here we go. One way or the other, we're going to go. Not again. Let's see here. Oh, no wonder. Too much going on. There, let's try it this way. Now we got our hook. Let's try it again. Here we go. So y'all can get, if I can get it. So I talked about y'all's big butt, and now all of a sudden I can't get this up here. There we go. Any excuse that we come up with not to obey God is our big butt. That's right. So, today we're looking at another man that had a big butt. Matter of fact, he had five big butts. Okay? So, I want you to look at him. When God starts talking to Moses, he says, who am I? And God says, I want you to get your big butt out of the way. Satan's playing chicken with us right now. He's playing chicken with us nationally. He's playing chicken with us in the world. He's playing chicken with us. However you want to look at it. It's up to us whether we run and hide. Or whether we do what we're called to do. Amen? So now watch this. Very, very, has anybody noticed the world's going crazy? Last night, I saw the security tape. Two deputies were at the airport in LA County. A gunman came up and shot them while they were in their patrol car. They were in hospital, hanging on for their life, fighting for their life, and protesters were outside of the hospital hollering, die, die. We hope you die. This is a lot deeper than anybody ever could imagine. And it's time for the church to stand up and be counted. Amen? Because if we don't, you never can tell what's going to happen. It's time for us to do what God's given us. Now, you got to understand how we do this. We don't do this how the world does it, because that's the wrong way. So anybody knows the world's going crazy? Okay, so now I'm going to take my time with this, because I want us to get this, right? I was going to thought it'd be a little funny right to start with your big butts, but here it is. It's not time for the church to lay low and stay in the shadows. Now is the time for the church to rise and shine. Amen? We got something in us that the world needs to see right now. We got something in us that the world's crying for. They don't have it. They're reaching out every which way they can. They're treating symptoms instead of the disease, and they're trying to handle the symptoms instead of the disease. The disease is sin. Okay? We don't have a color problem. We have a sin problem. Amen? We don't have whatever kind of problem you want to name it. Just name off all the problems you want. There's a sin problem. And the way that this is addressed is, listen, remember this now, we are a city on a hill that cannot be hid. We're up high for the world to see. And when the city on the hill is being seen, people will see what's going on in that city. We're the salt of the world. Why did God call us the salt of the world? Because, listen, number one, salt seasons. It seasons everything it touches. Everything salt touches, it seasons. Do you know that's why some people don't want to be around you? It's because just as soon as you walk in the room, you start bringing season and they don't like the taste. Come on now. They don't like the taste of the seasoning you're bringing, and so they shut up when you come in the room. You ain't even got to say a word. Amen? Some people, when you come in the room, things change and good things start happening. Why? Because the seasoning you bring is some good stuff and that people like the taste of it. Not only is salt seasoned, but salt heals. You can salt heals, but in the healing process, it also burns. And so sometimes us just being around, we cause a lot of pain just for us being around. Not because we're doing anything, it's because we are the light of the world and we are the salt of the world and we're carrying the message of the gospel. And when Satan senses, Satan's not attacking you, he's attacking your anointing. You got to understand that. He's attacking your anointing. And when he senses the anointing, he goes after you as hard as he can go. And so here it goes again. So salt seasons, salt heals, but it also burns and it cleanses. But you know what else about salt? Salt is very valuable. Back in that day, it was a hard thing to find and to dig salt. You know what they paid the Roman soldiers in? Salt. That's why that's where the expression comes. He's worth his weight in salt. Because they paid the Roman soldiers in salt. That's how valuable it was. And that's where the word salary comes from the word salt. So we are the salt of the world. We season this place. We bring healing to this place. And when we bring value to this place. So when we step out, listen, I'm not talking about going out and marching and holding up signs for us to do. I'm talking about let Jesus Christ shine through us because we are the light of this world. When Jesus shines through us, it's amazing what can happen because we bring seasoning, we bring healing, we bring worth to this place. The church is a very powerful, powerful, not just organization, it's an organism. Amen. We have what this world needs right now, and it's not time for us to sit back and go, I'm scared to death. It's time for us to stand up and let the world see Jesus shine through us. Amen. We don't have to listen. I don't have to tell somebody I'm a Christian because when I come up and the Holy Spirit's upon me, all of a sudden, just like you, when you walk in, you bring seasoning, you bring healing, you bring value. Amen? Because you are the salt of the world. The salt of the earth. Okay, so now, let's just go a little further here and let's get going here. Here's Moses. He was talking about, who am I that I can go do anything for you? So we're going to talk about Moses and we're going to talk about his big butts. Watch this. If anybody had a call on their life, it was Moses. But if anybody had some falls in his life and some fails, it was Moses. So he was called, but so many times he fell or he had falls. When he first began feeling the call of God to deliver his people, he killed one Egyptian, buried him, and caused anger on both sides of the fence and ran for his life. Now, he didn't do it God's way. He did it his own way because he tried to return evil for evil. Come on now. He was trying to play the same game that was being dealt to his people. We can't play the same game that's going on now. Because if we play the same game, we wind up in just this great old big war. That's not what this is all about. It's about the Holy Spirit. Because remember, you bring seasoning, you bring healing, you bring worth. And when you come in on the scene, it's amazing how things can change. Have you ever just walked into a room? Just walked into a room and nobody knew you. And all of a sudden, things calmed down. You know why? It's because the salt of the earth was presented to the people. And they didn't even know it. Their spirit bore witness with your spirit, and the Holy Spirit was working, and something amazing happened. So now watch this. Watch this. Moses' big mission had been overshadowed by his five big butts. Okay? And we're going to talk about his five big butts today. So now, what caused him, and what causes us to let our big butts get in the way? And I'm not talking about physically. What is it that caused him to let his big butt get in the way? What causes us to let our big butts get in the way? Watch this. Watch carefully. He focused on the what ifs instead of the what is. Oh, come on. Here's a good point. You could just be up shouting right now. He focused on the what ifs, because the whole time he's talking to God, what if, what if, what if? What if they don't listen? Who am I? What if I went over there? What? What if, what if, what if? He focused on the what ifs instead of the what is. And God always responded to his what if with what is. Some of you here today, if you could just get out of the what ifs, get in God's Word and understand it's not what if, it's what is that counts. What is will drive you crazy. What is will drive you to the grave. But what is will drive you to something powerful, to God's power, God's anointing. It'll bring the anointing in your life like you've never seen before, because you're not going what if, you're going what is. Amen. So now, here we go. Let's get over here. Big butt number one. Who am I? Moses struggled with his identity. Does anybody here have a spiritual identity complex? Spiritual inferiority complex? Well, because I don't have Dr. So-and-so in front of my name, because I don't have all these degrees, because I don't have Reverend in front of my name, because I weren't born into a family full of preachers, because I don't have the holy name. Don't worry about that. God was telling Moses. You see, if God hadn't called Moses while he was in Egypt, Moses would not have had a problem with his identity, because he said, I'm in line to be the king. Yes, he'd call me. God didn't call him then. God called him when he became a nobody. Come on. Shout. God didn't call him when he was up here. God called him when he was down here. You see, he just didn't feel qualified. Because it's what if. What if. What if. He thought God had picked the wrong man. But here's God. Oh, I love it. Here's God. Watch this. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Or right like this. Here, let's bring it down to us talking. Moses answered God, but why me? What makes you think I would ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children out? Why do you think I could do that? God, did you see me? I mean, I was in line for king, and then all of a sudden, I felt your call, and I went about it the wrong way, and now the call's gone, everything's gone. I'm out here leading sheep, not people. I'm not building pyramids. I'm building sheepfolds. And God said, certainly I will be with thee, and this will be a token unto thee that I've sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the children out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Doesn't matter your identity, it's his identity. It's not what if, it's what is. Oh, come on. It's not what if, it's what is. The great I am has got his back. It's the great I am calling him. It's not Pharaoh calling him. It's not his, the feeling that he's just some kind of Willy Burger feeling inside of him, not goosebumps. I am that I am is calling him. Today, with all this stuff going around us, God is shouting, let me fix this. And we keep pushing him to the side. God whispers in prosperity, but he shouts in pain. God's saying, let me fix this. But how can he fix it if the church is running and hiding? How can he fix it if we refuse to stand up and let his light shine? Okay? So number one, who am I? Look, as a matter of fact, here's look at this. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. God's not calling you because of anything special you are, it's because God already marked you to be living in this day. I'd love to be living back in the cowboy days. I'd love it. I would think that'd be the greatest thing, to be living with the cowboys. You know, the Cowboy Channel, the Inspiration Channel is 365. And Linda said, I don't have to wonder what channel you want to watch. I said, well, I said, I already know that number. I said, why does she says the same amount of days you can watch cowboy movies, 365 days a year. 365. I said, well, that makes sense. But you know, God didn't do that. I'd have loved to have been born in the 20s. I thought I'd have loved to be born in the 40s. But you know what? God's got me right here, right now. God's got you right here, right now. And you know what? The same kind of anointing that he had on Moses and the same kind of anointing that he had on all the other people in the Bible during their time, he's got the same anointing upon us. It's not us. It's the great I am. It's not what I'm perceiving. It's what God knows. It's not what if. It's what is. God's called us to stand up, to rise up and be counted. Again, I'm not talking about militant with guns and stuff like that. I'm talking about you got to let your light shine so God can get in this thing. All right? So here we go. Get ready. Number two. Big butt number two. Let's get ready. Isn't God good? So for number one, who am I? Number two is another excuse is, who are you? You see, he didn't know God well enough to describe him to the people and lack convictions concerning his relationship with God. I tried this once, God. I stood up for you. I went to bat for you when I was getting ready to be king. I'm standing up, and all I did was I got heartache. I got stripped of my kingship. I got stripped of everything I owned. My people I was trying to help didn't want me. The people that I was trying to hurt didn't want me. Everybody wanted me out, and so I'm out 40 years in the wilderness. I haven't heard from you, God. 40 years since I felt that call. I haven't heard from you, and now I'm hearing from you. Who are you? Oh, wow. That makes it seem a little bit different than when Charlton Heston stood up on the mountain, don't it? I mean, think about his real life. Moses, what he's been going through. You see, God's response is, I am who I am. I'm ever present. I'm everything that you need. God said, here it is. And God said to Moses, I am that I am. Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent you. Now therefore that the Lord your God is, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and his commandments to 1,000 generations. God has not taken his hand off the wheel. God has not taken his hand off anything. The world has pushed his hands off the wheel. And God says, let me get back in there. Let me get my hand back on the wheel. But how does he do that? By shining through us. I'm going to get a little bit deeper. I'll get deeper, I promise. I'm not going to leave you hanging. All right? So number two, big butt number two, who are you? Big butt number three. What if they don't listen? What if I start a newspaper and nobody buys it? What if I get up and sing and nobody listens? What if, what if, what if, what if? What if I start a podcast and nobody goes to it? What if? they don't listen. You see, Moses felt intimidated. He worried about the people's reaction to him. Matter of fact, when I started working on this today, you know, I've been working on it for a couple of weeks now, because it came week before last, and last week I wasn't going to do it. Then last week the Lord spoke to me again and said, I want you to do this. So actually I've been working on this for a couple of weeks, but this week has been the hardest. I've been working on it. And I said, Lord, if I'm going to start talking about big butts, they're going to think I'm just up there joking. He said, just Nike, just do it. Just do it. Quit giving me excuses and just do it. You see, Moses' response is, when I'm through, they're going to listen to you. He says, let's read this thing here. And Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? He said, a rod. And when he cast it on the ground, I said, cast it on the ground. And when he cast it on the ground, it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And they put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they might believe that the Lord God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said, furthermore, now put thy hand into thy bosom. When he put his hand into his bosom and took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, now put thy hand in the bosom again. And when he put his hand in his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, behold, it was turned as the other flesh. And they and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of thy first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass that if they will not believe also these two signs, neither will they hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it on dry land, and the water which shall taken out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Wow, so God's already mapping it out. Okay? He's telling them, you just hold on. See, again. Well, God's not giving us a spirit of timidity or fear, cowardice or craving, cringing, of fawning in fear, but He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm, well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. As a matter of fact, one of those words is the ability, in the Greek, of sound mind means the ability to think under pressure. Wow. The ability to think under pressure. Big butt. We're going to do all the butts today. So don't think this is not a two-parter. This is one. Big butt number four. I've never been a good speaker. Really? Let me just read something to you. And then y'all can be the judge of this, okay? Matter of fact, Moses fretted about his inadequacies. Who would listen to him? Because he couldn't even speak well. Let me read something to you. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since that thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Another version says, Moses raised another objection to God, Master, please, I don't talk well. I've never been good with words, neither before nor after you spoke to me. I stutter and I stammer and I get ready. Acts chapter 7. Verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. Wait a minute. Now, let me just break it down a little bit further. So Moses was educated in all the wisdom and culture of the Egyptians, and he was a mighty, mighty and powerful in his speech and in his deeds. So when he was in Egypt, powerful. But God used the 40 years in the wilderness to break him. Because, yes, he needed to have the education of the king, but he needed to have the heart of a shepherd. That way he could lead the people. I mean, he didn't have Jews. He had to have the education of a king, but he had to have the heart of a shepherd. And so as God is breaking him and giving him the heart of a shepherd, that's when his stutter, all this starts happening. And so he says, I can't even talk. Really? when he was before he felt the call the first time, he was a very powerful speaker. Wow. Let me ask you a question. Is there things that you could have really do good when you were out in the world and you were out doing your thing, you were with the guys, you were with the girls, you were with the gang? And they always say, well, call on this guy, call on Jimbo, because Jimbo, he's the one that does this the best. And Jimbo gets saved and comes in and goes, I can't do anything, Lord. Really? Really? I'm just meek. I can't do anything. I can't think of anything. My wife asked me the other day, she said, if you got a chance to go on America's Got Talent, what would you do? I'd say, turn down the invitation. I got nothing on America's Got Talent. But if you'd asked me that when I was a teenager, I'd have said, please give it to me. I'll do anything you want me to do. I can do anything. You see, once you start going through the trials of life, things start changing. And when he went through the breaking process, he thinks that he's inadequate. He don't understand that God's working in him and making him and developing him. God's response was, guess who made your mouth? And the Lord said to him, who made man's mouth? And who maketh the dumb and the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Again, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he has prepared ahead of time. He knew all this was happening. He already knew all this stuff was going down. He already knew the problems you were going to have today. And he called you anyway. Why'd he call you anyway? Because he's got the answer to every one of your problems. I'll just let that one sink in. Why did he pick 2020 to let us be sitting in this church? Because I can promise you in 2019 we weren't talking about this. This is probably the most chaotic time other than the Civil War that this country has gone through amongst itself. Why did God call you to be here? So you could run and hide? That you wouldn't be adequate? Or that your light can shine? You can bring seasoning and spice, and you can bring healing, and you can bring value. So watch this. That we should walk in them living, or for us taking the paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Wow. He's already got this. He's already got you. He's already got you where he needs you. You think, well, you just got your job because you were so smart. Well, that had something to do with it, of course. But that's not why you got the job. You got the job because that's where God needed you to be at the time. You think, well, did I get in this school because of this, or I got in that college because I had that? Well, maybe that had something to do with it physically, but you know what? God needed you in that college. God needed me in Lee University. You know, there's all this stuff going on. We got to understand this. So this isn't happenstance. God's got you where he wants you to make a difference and shine. He needs you to shine. All right, then here's the final one. Y'all get ready. Y'all get ready to play something. Here's the final one. I know you can find somebody else. Ha! Yeah. He can find somebody else. But can't you find somebody else, God? Is there somebody else to do? I'm not adequate. I don't know you good enough. I can't talk. I'm not the right whatever. I'm not the right age. I don't have the right speech. I don't have the right education. I'm not the right color. I'm not the right last name. Can't you find somebody else? Again, Moses felt inferior. He even compared himself to others, even his brother. And he decided, after he added it all up, he came up short. Look at all the stuff that man been through and all the stuff that man had gone through from the very beginning of being put in that little bitty little bitty ark that his mama made for him and put him down the river. All this stuff. And now it's time for the moment. Now's the time where he should have sat on the stage. Now's the time when he should have made the difference. Now is the time. All that stuff he went through is coming to pass. All that stuff that he went through was building him up for this one time. Right now. Some of y'all right now, you can't understand why you went through certain things and why you got fired or why you got transferred or why you couldn't go here or why you couldn't go there or why this school dropped you or why this person, this boyfriend or girlfriend decided they want to be around you and blah, blah, blah. And these people, well, you say, I don't understand why this stuff happened to me. Why I had this disease. Why I had this. Why I had that. You know, I don't understand why Bethany died. I don't understand that. That boggles my mind why Bethany died. And it boggles my mind some of the stuff that I see going on all over the place. But you know what? God used all of that to prepare you for right now. And the calling that you've got on your life for the person you're supposed to be, for the person you're supposed to be impacting, nobody can do it like you. So yes, he could call somebody else, but he needs you. So, again, and this God's response says, okay, let Aaron go with you, but I'm still calling you to go. All right, I'll give you a crutch, but you ain't going to need it. Because once he got there, he did all the talking anyway. You see, Jeremiah 29:11, I know what I'm doing. I got it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. More time. This is God talking to Jeremiah. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. Let me ask you a question. As you've been watching the big butts, did any of those big butts kind of resonate with you? Did it hit you? I sit back and look at my life and I look over some of the things that I did and some of the places that I went and some of the things that I wind up doing and it just boggles my mind now to look back and see God was building me and I didn't even understand. There was things that I was doing that I knew I was not capable of doing, but God got me there anyway, and I got wound up doing it, and wound up doing it well, because God had me there, not me have me there. There's a difference. So now, again, how I told you I wouldn't leave you hanging. The small things turn out to be the big thing. Watch this carefully. How am I supposed to make a difference? How am I supposed to light up? How am I supposed to make that humongous difference that you're talking about? Well, number one, be smart. I've done this one time before, but I'm taking it further than I did the first time I showed this in the very first of the COVID problem. Be smart. God gives us wisdom. God ain't called you to go jump out in the middle of some crazy mess going on and you start hollering back and everything. That's not going to show anything. Going and shooting an abortion doctor is not going to bring God glory. Be smart. Ask God to maneuver you. To show you what to do in these situations that we're in. Keep it simple. Don't try to do something, you know, Amazing Spider-Man. No, just keep it simple. Ask God to show you. Keep it simple. If it's nothing more than changing somebody's tire you see on the side of the road. There's a lady over there and she got her tire. You just stop off and you fix her tire. Or maybe you're at the grocery store and you see somebody that doesn't have the money to pay for their groceries and you, without you saying a word, just walk over to the cashier and hand them the money and say, here. See, that's being smart. You're not trying to grab any glory. But you know what? You're adding value.
You're adding seasoning. You're bringing healing. And then, just be strong. You'll never know how much of a difference you can make till you step out of the boat to make the difference. But you got to be strong to step out of that boat. I don't mean strong this way. I mean strong this way. If you're going to step out of that boat and make a difference, if you're going to bring change, you're going to have to be the change you need to see. And sometimes that means that you're going to have to do things a little bit different. Okay? Because remember, simply put, do the small things in big ways. And then finally, I'm getting really close. You say, well, that's good. You're helping out, but you're not really telling us anything. You're just saying keep it smart. Let the Holy Ghost direct you. Keep it simple. You don't have to go out and try to feed a million people today. Just feed a family. And be strong. You got to know God's called you to do this. God's called you to let His light shine. His light shine through you. And as you stand up strong and let Him do it. So watch this. Wait a minute. I can hear somebody. I already heard this. So I wrote it down. Prophetic. As I was reading that last thing, I could hear some of y'all thinking this already last night. Again, does anybody notice that the world has gone crazy? You're telling us to go out in a crazy world and make a difference? Have you seen out there? Yeah, I've seen out there. I see out there a lot. An acrostic for grace. How can I go out in this crazy world with all this crazy mess happening? Make a difference. Number one, G, give your best. Give your best. DC, very proud of him. He just got his license as an EMT. He's working for getting even further. But I guarantee when he goes to a fire, when he goes to a medical scene, an emergency, he don't go in there and just keep his hands in his pocket and go, okay. He's giving it his best. That's why they keep calling him, because he gives his best. That's why some people that have a chance to live, live. Give your best, not your second best. Give your best. When you get ready to step out and you feel that anxiousness coming on to you, what if, what if, what if, you just take a deep breath. And say, what if, get out of here. What is? What is God's got my back. And God's calling me to let my light shine. Number one, give your best. G, R, refuse to play the game. I am not going to get caught up in that name calling. I'm not going to get caught up in the bashing and hitting on folks and doing all. No, I'm not going to play that game. I know, look, I'm not going to play the game. Okay? I am a child of God. God told me how to behave myself, and I'm going to behave myself according to the standards of God. Okay? Refuse to play the game. So now, A, act through faith versus your emotions. How many remember the Mighty Army yesterday? Mighty Army yesterday says, don't reduce God to the size of your emotions. Wow. That's powerful. You see, if I act through faith versus my emotions may say, run. My emotions may say, you're just too tired. My emotions may say, you know what, is it even worth it? Are they even listening? No, I'm acting through faith. See, stay calm. You can't do a thing if you get caught up in the same mess You play in the game, guess what happens? You lose your head. You lose your head, you lose the game. Don't play the game. Stay calm. E. Example. I want my light to shine, to be an example. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be an example? I can sit back and think about all those guys in this church that's died before us that I knew. And I can, whenever I think about them, I think about the examples they set before me. Y'all guys in here now, y'all will never understand or never even be able to realize all the great examples y'all have set for me. It's been amazing. I see example after example. And I'm not excluding ages either, because there have been young age, old age, but the examples that were set for me, and it helped me keep my bearings, because when I felt sometimes like letting my emotions get in, I remembered how y'all were calm and how you set that example. Oh, we're not perfect, and there's going to be times that you're not calm. There's going to be times when you not necessarily setting the best of examples, but when you're doing what you're doing now, here's what I'm going to tell you. Grace, remember grace in this crazy world. Give your best. Refuse to play the game. Act through faith versus emotions. Stay calm. Be an example. And watch what God will do. Y'all guys, come on up here and play something. Everybody that's staying. I can't, what was that in Colorado? Was it in Colorado? Columbine. Where the guy came in and shot up the school. And there was this young lady. She wasn't very old. I think she was like, I can't remember. She was like 10, 11, 12. Maybe a little bit older. And the guy said, wanted to know if she would recant Jesus as her Savior. And she said, nope, I'll never, ever. And he shot her and killed her. Right there on the spot. And I remember that mass funeral is one of the first times this place had ever, this world ever had one of these mass killings like this. Now we've got them all over the place. And I remember them saying, again, it's one of the first times I heard it, about you got when you were born, and you got when you died, and you got the dot in the middle, that little mark in the middle, the dash. And it's the dash in the middle that makes a difference. It doesn't matter how long you're on this earth, it's the dash, what you did with what you had, and how much she had accomplished in her short years. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I don't want to be presumptuous, but I don't think I am. I'm pretty sure everybody in here has got at least one big butt, and I'm not talking about your rear end either. I'm talking about mentally, spiritually, emotionally. You got at least one big butt. You may have more than that. You may have several big butts. Moses, the meekest man that ever lived, one of the greatest men that ever lived, had five big butts. I don't even have to point them out. You already know what they are.
And God wants you to acknowledge it to Him, and then wants you to get out of the what ifs and go to the what is. Right now, it's amazing what this church, what this community, what we could do if we could get past the what ifs and stand on the what is, because the what ifs are shaky. The what ifs may never happen. The what ifs hold you back. The what ifs cause you pain. The what ifs causes you to run and hide. But the what is, you can stand on, you can trust, you can believe. It will sustain you. It will build you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let me just tell you something about those buts. Not only will those buts hold you back or keep you ineffective or keep you from being what you could be, it also can keep you at a distance from God. The Bible said when God saw Moses stopped to check it out, that's when He talked to him. I got a question. How long had that bush been sitting there burning? How many times, and the Bible don't say, and I'm just speculating, how many times did that, how long was that bush burning before God, or before Moses saw it, or before Moses said, I'm going to stop and check this out? Because bushes burning in the desert are very common. This one was not common because it was not consumed. It was just burning. Some of y'all right now, the bush is burnt. You've gone by it time and time and time again. And then when you finally did stop, the big butts got in the way. And now you're hurting. Things are falling apart. Because you decided to do it your way. Remember, when Moses did it his way, he caused problems. When he did it God's way, He brought solution. If you're here today with every head bowed, every eye closed, and those big butts in your life, first off, if you got some big butts in your life with nobody looking around, would you raise that hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I've got to learn how to get past those big butts. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Help them get past those big butts. Maybe, just maybe, that big butt has put a barrier between you and God, or at least to the fullness of what you want of God, because the butt's in the way. If I'm talking to you right now, would you put that hand, be brave, put a hand up and say, you know what, that big butt has got in my way. I think I could be closer to God if I could get rid of that big butt. Yeah. And maybe, just maybe, I could be more effective for God's kingdom if I could learn to get past the big butts. One more time, put those hands up. Hands are going up everywhere. Know this, although you're not looking around, know this, that you're not the only one raising your hand, I promise. I want us to pray this together. God, say it out loud. God, You're powerful. You're almighty. You see me. You know me. You called me. And I've allowed butts to get in the way. It hinders, come on, say it. It hinders my relationship with You. It hinders my relationship with others. Help me, God. And I'm not saying this to be funny, but help me put the butt behind me. Help me to let my light shine. Help me to be seasoning. Help me to bring healing
Help me to bring value whenever I step in any situation, but especially this day. In the name of Jesus, with your help, I will move past it. I thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. Now maybe you're here. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. One more time, bow your heads. One more time, bow those heads. If you're here today, and we're not talking about butts now, we're talking about hearts. If you're here today and your heart is not right, you know, I don't have to tell you, you know that you and God aren't in the right place. You know that something's hindering. You know that you're not where you used to be. And you're needing God to help you restore that relationship. When nobody's looking around, every eye closed, would you stick that hand up? Y'all, all, everybody, thank you for your honesty. Everybody, together, say this. Lord, I give myself freely to you. I will step out of my own way and let you lead me. Bring me back to the fold. Bring me back to the place where I can be used. I trust you with this, Lord. I give myself to you in the name of Jesus. Now, one more time, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. There's some freedom going on in here. There's some freedom going on in here because some butts have been kicked out of the way. You know what? How about that?